Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Bhuttaṃ dhammaṃ saṅghaṃ namassāmi. So it can be very interesting and also at times quite challenging to be living in a Buddhist community which is a mixture of East and West, where people tend to see things in quite a different way. One of the ways in which this challenge can present itself is that a Western practitioner will often see the things of their mind as all of them as arising from within. So they have a psychological view of what's happening. Something comes to them, then it's either a benevolent force in their own mind or a malevolent one. And from the Asian practitioner, different to this, that they will tend to see certain things that come to them as outside of themselves. They may see some as inside, but usually, often more often, they now see something as outside of themselves, of an externalizing rationale. As we have an internalizing rationale of our mental and emotional world. So an Asian person will be terrified of ghosts. Asian practitioner will be terrified of going into the forest because they'll be frightened that ghosts will come. Whereas a Westerner would feel afraid that they'll just be overcome by their own stuff. They can't face their own stuff, just being on their own day after day. They just start to get lost in their own inner, their own imaginations. Lose track a bit of reality, a deluded mind state. Whereas an Asian person will tend to talk about the visits from ghosts, malevolent spirits, and so on. And the fact that these two conflict with each other, actually the conflicts are minor and rare. People not really talking on this level with each other. But it's actually, if they do happen, it can, in my eyes, quite sad, because we don't really need to rationalise on this level. And it's not necessary. Sajjan Chah said the same. So somebody asked him, all these things that come to me, are they in my own mind or do they come from somewhere else? He said, any craving wants to know the answer to that question. In other words, we don't really need to know as practitioners. You may want to know, a craving may want to know, is this something special or different or exotic, or is this my just my mind, this kind of thing. And for various reasons, maybe we may want to know, but as practitioners, we don't need to know. So we have to restrain all this speculation. The discrimination that we need to make is between wholesome and unwholesome. Is this something that's benevolent? Does it lead to a pleasant feeling and wholesome mind states, benevolent mind states, kindness and care and love and all these good things? Or does it lead to fear or hatred or greed, or what's the result? What's coming to us, and what character does it have, and what's the result? So it's very pragmatic, the teaching in this respect. And yet it's true that if we go on and become experienced practitioners, that in the long run, the nature of these experiences will reveal itself to us. So we will know whether something is imagined or something is not imagined, whether whether we are experiencing something in our imagination when a deva walks into the room, sits down, whether this is in our imagination, whether it's not, whether it is really a deva sitting opposite us, talking to us. These things will sort themselves out in the long run. When a practice goes deep enough, then the mind will sort itself out. In this respect, we don't need to try and sort it out, try to discriminate. It'll all become obvious in time. So often the advice of the teachers is, oh, just keep going. And if it's good, if something good happens, it's a good sign. Keep going in that direction like a signpost. If something bad happens, then turn and go the other way. But either way, often the advice, if anything happens, is just to keep with the meditation object. That's kind of where your refuge is to stay with the meditation object. That's why one reason why we have one, is that things can overwhelm us otherwise, take the mind over. So we tend to keep the meditation object going, or keep turning to it, to calm our minds. So often if we calm our minds, then of course we'll see, and if the mind becomes calm, then the mind is no longer creating anything. The mind is very peaceful, still, then there's no creation within the mind, there is no imagination. So we need to see, the suffering of this realm of imagination, fleeting, and how hard to sustain these things can be. But also, you will see the difference just very clearly right there, when the mind is still, it can become still in itself. There's no creative energy within itself. No heat, it's cooled down, chilled out. Oh, we can watch our minds, can we? So we're getting a bit hot about these things, hot about something. In Buddhist practice, we're not really looking to get hot about anything at all, really. We end up shooting ourselves in the foot if we do. Mind's getting very peaceful and entering into lovely states. And if we get then passionate about these, excited about these, then we spoil it. So just to emphasize then the discrimination that we need to make as Buddhist practitioners, not so psychological as moral, or not so analytical as this is very simple division between wholesome and unwholesome, suffering and non-suffering. So that's what we're following, skillful or unskillful. You follow this for long enough and well enough, then all other distinctions, all other things will become clear to us. Won't be this kind of doubting and confusion. So I'll offer this one for your reflection.